This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our guest is Mark Welch. Dr. Mark Welch is Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist in College Station. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins explains recent federal efforts to streamline permitting processes, expediting construction of U.S. fertilizer facilities.
The EPA, Department of Commerce, DOI, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are specifically streamlining to put at warp speed permitting for air, water, chemicals, environmental review, safety, and transportation. One example, soon getting across the finish line to officially permit the CF Industries new world-scale ammonia facility at Blue Point Complex in Louisiana, which is expected to be the largest ammonia plant in the world, with a nameplate capacity of 1.4 million metric tons per year.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today, Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist in College Station. All right, Mark, we're watching really a rally across all row crops at this point. Corn has been higher. We've been watching wheat just really take off. Soybeans have been higher. What's driving this?
If you look across the complex, yeah, of our spring planted crops, and you know that with corn and soybeans, with you mentioned cotton, and then also you know over in the wheat market, you know, to see this rally that we've got going, just incredible what these markets are doing. And now look at wheat, you know, there are certainly some you know direct fundamental I think explanations of some concerns around you know wheat supplies, particularly in the U.S. for this 2026 wheat crop. USDA you know resumed their national crop condition ratings in early April, and with that first report, you know the share of crop that was in the very poor and poor categories was significantly higher in April than it was back in November, and those condition ratings have just continued to fall as we've gone now through the first, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of those reports. So there's some significant concern of the yield potential of the 2026 U.S. wheat crop. And then combine that with, you know, the information that came from the prospective plantings report back at the end of March that U.S. wheat acres were, according to the Farmer Survey, were only going to total 43 million in 2026. And that would be an all-time record low. USDA began reporting that all wheat acreage number back in 1919, and we've never seen a number as low as 43 million. That's about half the wheat we were planting, you know, back in say 1980. So we'd lower acres, and then you know, just week to week, seeing those crop condition ratings deteriorate. There's certainly some real concern on the supply side. From what we're seeing globally right now, however, you know, the indicators that I have access to and watching don't show a large portion of the global wheat crop for 2026, you know, in trouble right now. So I think then you look at, well, what else then may be going on, you know, driving that price of wheat? You know, certainly just the turmoil coming out of the Middle East and the escalation of prices across many commodities. I think, you know, wheat may be caught up in that. And are we beginning to see reflected in these markets perhaps some concern of what higher fertilizer prices might do to production prospects further down the road? As we look at, you know, those countries that do rely very heavily on fertilizer imports, might we start to see some yield implications from these high fertilizer prices or where fertilizer is even available at all? You know, if you're heavily reliant on imported product. So is that playing into that? I think there's just so much uncertainty right now and then around a food grain, you know, like wheat. I think it gets a lot of market attention. So there's some fundamental explanation, but again, the degree of this price increase, you know, relative to what I can make sense of on the fundamental side, you know, it does seem like there's more going on than just the concerns over crop conditions in the U.S. That we may have other things being built into this price run-up, particularly when we look at wheat.
Talking with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist Mark Welch. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension grain marketing economist, and we're talking corn. How about multiple sessions higher here for new crop corn? What do you watch?
Right. To see that, you know, December contract running up to just right at that $5 bushel level again, you know, just incredible. Then I go back again to look at the backdrop against the fundamentals of supply and demand, particularly look at the corn market. Yes, we are seeing some reinforcement around some of those, demand kind of numbers, feed use staying strong. As you mentioned, we may have some limitations on the number of mouths out there in the feedlot that are consuming grain, but we continue to feed them early, put them on feed earlier, feed them longer, feed them heavier. So I think that's supporting a lot of our grain use, and that's not just the cattle industry. That's across, you know, all species. We're feeding those, you know, pork and poultry, animals a lot longer and heavier too. So yeah, that's supporting the feed side. Certainly the run up and concerns over energy, with the crude oil market, with the strong component that we have in corn and soybeans, for biofuels, you know, that gives us a boost. Perhaps these renewables being more affordable to blend into the fuel supply, given the disruptions in crude oil markets. But if we start looking at, you know, $4 gasoline, $5 diesel, will that have an impact on consumption at some point as well? So there's some trade-offs, you know, maybe down the road with these higher energy costs or energy prices. So I think a lot of it, again, maybe what is the production side then? What's the supply side look like? Well, again, back to that prospective planters report, farmers in the U.S. told us they were going to plant 85 million acres of corn, 95 million acres of corn for 2026. And if we have an average kind of yield, which in today's world would be 183 bushels per acre, even with some relatively strong, numbers on the use side, we could still be looking at some relatively large carryovers of corn from this crop we're planting for 2026. And particularly if Brazil still makes a crop, then there's still going to be a lot of corn in the world as we head into the next fall. But again, are we seeing perhaps just an uncertainty and a concern of what may be yet further down the road? If we see these higher input costs, and again, the cost of fertilizer, the availability of fertilizer of those countries that rely so heavily on fertilizer imports. And our neighbors in South America are some of those. China and Asia import a lot of fertilizer. Brazil, Argentina, you know, they're going to be putting out their fertilizer for their spring planted crops, our late summer and fall. We're right on the doorstep of them trying to buy that fertilizer. And so at these prices, are there going to be some concerns around just what production levels are going to be for the 26-27 crops? I wonder if the market's not dialing in some of that uncertainty given the strength we're seeing across the board. Because in corn in particular, it does look like the price, in my mind, has outrun the fundamentals. And so we're dialing in something else. Uncertainty, risk, projected impacts. Just trying to get a gauge or a handle on that. But certainly these are prices that, just looking back over the last, 6 weeks, 2 months, certainly would have, never, thought that we would get these kind of levels given the record corn crop we're coming off of in 2025, record corn crop or record crop for wheat as well in 2025. So it's not like we're short on grain going into this uncertain situation, but it just appears that perhaps there's an additional level of risk and uncertainty that's certainly being reflected in this sharp increase in commodity prices that we're seeing in the markets today.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist. Too soon to start thinking of 2027?
Yeah, first of all, on the input cost side, if we were to resolve the conflict in the Middle East, very soon, in the very near time frame, it would appear to me that the damage that has been done to production facilities, to infrastructure, to transportation, is going to, cause just elevated costs, to continue to reverberate throughout the, energy and fertilizer sectors for a good period of time. That even if things kind of do try to get back to normal, what will it take to get all those facilities flowing and going again? Transportation cost, risk, insurance, freight rates, out of a world now that certainly appears to be more vulnerable, and less secure. And so how will that be priced in, to the movement of a wide range of commodities? And so I think if we're looking at, this price impact, for many producers in the U.S., hopefully you've got most of your fertilizer already booked or bought, for 2026. But if we're looking to 2027, as we start to put those bookings in this late summer and fall, I think these prices are likely to still be with us. And then we then have a much better handle on what are the production prospects for 26. We made a wheat crop. What's the corn crop look like? And then what are the longer term implications and ramifications of this down the road for world production numbers? Prices stay high. Fertilizer still available, though expensive. We're not likely to see that big production impact. Again, it could go another way as well. So, right, I think there's always concern of these locked in higher input costs. Then in most years, what we see is prices do decline as we head in toward harvest, and it puts that real squeeze on any kind of profit margin that we had some opportunities to do something about, and those market opportunities tend to get away from us. So, I think it's certainly worth looking at. What these opportunities are bringing to us now relative to your cost of production, the budget you're building for 2026, and not too early to start looking at maybe if you're looking at higher input costs for 2027, what does that what are those contracts around harvest time for the 27 crop, say for wheat and for corn? How are those looking? Around $5 on corn, $7 on wheat. Not bad places to be, and start being aware of what these marketing opportunities may bring us. So I think widening our awareness of the risk, but also widening our awareness of the opportunities, perhaps to take some protection against what may yet unfold in all the uncertainty that we're dealing with now and likely to for the next several months.
Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist in College Station. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA's initiative to streamline producer records and data and create greater efficiencies and customer service within the department's Farm Production and Conservation Mission area. One way to do so, according to FPAC Undersecretary Richard Fordyce, is developing
the geospatial mapping platform, where everything that NRCS is doing, from conservation planning to actual technical assistance on a farm, is looking and pulling information from exactly the same file that a PA and FSA is doing when they're doing an acreage report, or they're doing something which will be the same file that RMA, the AIPs are looking at. So everybody is looking at exactly the same thing in exactly the same real time.
Piloting a modernized acreage reporting component is underway in several counties across the nation. I'm Rod Bain, reporting in Washington, D.C.